I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. From the very earliest days of the church, the 50 days of Easter were considered to be the season of what they called mystagogia, that time when the church unpacked what Easter really meant for us. And still to this day, if you look at the gospel readings that run through the 50 days of Easter, that's really what it's all about, is recalling for us what that moment of resurrection really means and what it calls us to do and to be. Now, in our Bible study group, after we've had an opportunity to look at all four of the readings for the week, often that last question that we will ask is, so what possessed the lectionary committee to put these four readings together as a set? And often you can see a theme that runs through all of them. I would say that one-liner of what ties the four readings today together, I should have looked at the bulletin first to see what Rob had chosen, because he got a better one-liner than I did. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Or from the psalm, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Like I said with the kids, in the time of Jesus and even before, the attitude was that this God was a tribal God. The people of Israel, the people of God, were all descendants of Abram and Isaac and Jacob. This was a God for a single family, and let's face it, outsiders need not apply. And the attitudes of the people reflected that. God's love is for us. You go find your own God. And so it amazes me to see that this psalm that we have today managed to find its way into the canon of Scripture, because it really challenges that attitude that God is my God. The call throughout this psalm that's repeated over and over and over again is, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And it talks about, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. The nations refer to all of those outsiders that Israel was so regularly fighting with. So even for this really tribal people, in their scriptures, there's beginning to be this dawning awareness that their God is too big for the family, too big for the tribe, that their God reaches beyond the walls. And if you missed it in the psalm, and I thought that psalm would be Rob's favorite, because there are four psalms all in a row, 65, 66, 67, and 68, which if you look in the Hebrew, it clearly says they're dedicated to the music director. So there aren't any that are dedicated to the priest. So if you look beyond the psalm, you find that in the Revelation, again, you have this reference to all of the nations gathered into this new heaven and new earth that God is creating. A challenge to the people that God's love reaches outside the walls that we so often want to build. And then comes that reading from the Acts. Now, you have to have a little bit of knowledge about what came before and what went after. Just before that reading begins, Paul and Silas have felt called twice to get over the sea and into Asia, and they've been prevented from going both times. Then all of a sudden, in a dream, they see this Macedonian man calling them to please come and proclaim the good news to them. Paul and Silas make their way to Caesarea Philippi in Macedonia, and when they get there, they find this woman, Lydia. And she is a worshiper of God, although there is no there's no synagogue at Caesarea, because there aren't enough faithful men to create a synagogue. And women, again, they're outside the wall. They need not apply. So Lydia has to go out by the river and listen to the handful of faithful people speaking about their faith. Paul and Silas go there, and they proclaim the good news of Jesus. And Lydia is convinced. And she is baptized, and she brings her whole household to faith. Now, before this, already, Philip has baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, the slave of the Candace. Well, there's a guy who's got three strikes against him. First of all, he's a foreigner. Secondly, he's a slave. Thirdly, he's a eunuch. He's got a problem. He is so far beyond the reach of God's love that no faithful Jew would have anything to do with him. And yet, Philip is called by the Holy Spirit to baptize him. And then we get the story of Cornelius, a Roman centurion, the most hated of all the people in the Holy Land. And yet the disciples are called to baptize. And here we come to Lydia, perhaps the one the most cut off, the one the most outside the walls, because she's a woman. She's the head of her household. There is no man to speak for her, and so she is beyond the reach. And yet Paul and Silas are compelled by the Holy Spirit to reach out to Lydia and to bring her into the faith. We have always been called to be a religion of innovation, a religion that is always looking beyond the wall. We get caught in periods when we rebuild a new wall, but we are always called to be looking beyond, to find those that are isolated, to find those that are cut off, to find those that our biases say are too bad for the love of God. And then comes that gospel reading. And I remember it from Sunday school, one of those beautiful healing miracles. You've got this fellow, he's been sick for 38 years, waiting at the pool of Bethesda in order to get into the water when the water is roiled up so that he can be healed, but he's never managed. And Jesus comes and says, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." And he gets up and he takes up his bed and he walks. That's the story as I knew it for most of my life. And it's another one of those readings you need to read a little further along, because there's more happening there than meets the eye. First of all, the pool of Bethesda is only a couple hundred yards from the temple. And it was a place where all of the right and good people looked from the temple down, very much looking down on the sick that are there. Sickness was itself a sign that you were not in the favor of God. This man has been there 38 years. And Jesus comes to him and he says, "Sir, do you wish to be healed?" And what do we expect to hear? I don't know about you, but I expect to hear a good big resounding yes. But what do we get in the gospel? "Well, I've been here 38 years now, and every time the water's roiled up, I'm always too slow. I don't get there in time." Excuses. This is the most unwilling person that Jesus ever heals. And yet, God's love reaches out to him. And Jesus tells him, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." And that's where the lectionary committee leaves us, but there's more to the story. Because as soon as he gets away from the pool of Bethesda and he's walking near the temple, what happens but all the temple authorities come rushing over, accusing him of breaking the Sabbath because he's carrying his mat under his arm. And his answer to them, "Well, that guy back there that healed me told me to take my mat and walk." I say, "Well, who was he?" "Well, I don't know his name." A couple days later, Jesus seeks him out at the temple and he learns the name of Jesus, this one that has healed him. And what does he do? He immediately runs to the temple authorities and he says, "Well, now I know his name. It was Jesus who broke the Sabbath." And it says the temple authorities decide at that point they must kill him. This man who's been sick for 38 years, he is unwilling. He is ungrateful. and he is a betrayer, and yet he is not outside of the love of God. He is healed nonetheless. And that's the nature of the love of God. And that is incredible good news for us. I saw a meme on Facebook this week, which I reposted on the parish page, which showed a picture of a church pew. And the words written on it were, "I don't sit here because I believe I'm perfect. I sit here because I know I'm not." That's why it's good news for us. Every last one of us is imperfect. There isn't one of us that deserves the love of God. And yet it's there available for us every day. But it's not just good news for us. That love of God is good news for every one of the people who is not in a church this morning. That is good news for the whole world, which is why, as I said with the children this morning, that good news is a job for us. It's our ministry. Every day of our lives, as we go out there to the places where we live and work and do the things we need to do, it's our job to live in such a way as to share that love of God with all those folks who do not know that they are the beloved children of God. God's love is an all-inclusive love, and we're called to share it. Amen.